Are you ready?
Okay. I'll go ahead and call to order for the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting January 12th, 2016. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first thing on our agenda, the recommendation from Council that the Board of Supervisors, along with members from the Board of Conservation Board, go into closed session this morning to discuss some contract negotiation strategies. So I would take a motion to go into closed session.
Yeah, and I'll move that we go into closed session. And just to clarify, this has to do with one of our new bargaining units has been formed, and we're in the middle of negotiations for that first union contract, and so we need to be able to get together and discuss that.
Correct, and the board will actually move, so you guys don't have to go anywhere. So,
right. So and we'll be coming back to this during that over to complete the agenda and so forth.
Wayne, if you'll give us a second.
So I will second that motion.
You have a motion and a second. Is there anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chu? Aye. We'll be back shortly.
Okay. 15 minutes or so, I would expect.
He's coming. Give me a second. Okay, I'll go ahead and call us back in a regular session at 10:43, and there's no action for the board to take on the closed session. So that will take us up to public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody? Not seeing anybody. Consideration of minutes from the January 4th meeting. Move approval. And I'll second. Is there anything, any corrections or additions? Sanders?
Aye.
Chu? Aye. Minutes have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions. We need to note a change for James Schroeder. The amount listed on your agenda is incorrect. It should be $2,323.02 biweekly.
Okay. And I move approval with the noted change.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the personnel. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Those have been approved. Consideration of claims for 114 of 16.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the claims. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Consent agenda. Gentlemen, we need to add utility permits for 1645 and 1646.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Motion and a second for the consent agenda. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Two? Aye. No public hearing items. No additional items. Agency report, Soil and Water Conservation District Annual Report, Mark Shulman.
Mark.
Hello.
Hey.
Great to be here again with you. As you remember, I farm up by McCallsburg, and with me today to present is Gerald Fitzgerald, who's new to our commissioner board. He has a strong interest in environmental quality, and he's a certified crop advisor who's been working directly with farmers for over 30 years. So he's here today, as well as two other commissioners are in attendance, Steve Fales, from the retired from agronomy, and Sheldon Spencer, who works with Mary Greeley.
Outstanding. Well, we read your report. Sounds like things are going really, really well. Tell us about it.
It's both the good and the bad. Certain things are going well. In terms of increased awareness of water quality issues has certainly been highlighted in the last couple years. You can see from our report on the second page some of the activities in Story County that we've been able to accomplish. One of the problem areas, as I see it, is that a couple of years ago when the new farm bill came out, the USDA allocated over $1 million for farmer education to make sure that every single farmer in the United States perfectly understood the new farm bill and the best way to maximize it to get the best payments. We don't see that kind of education and outreach in soil and water conservation. And that's one of the reasons why, and many of the funds that we do receive are restricted for certain practices, and we don't have the funding we'd like to have for outreach. And so in that sense, we're extremely grateful. The commissioners are very grateful for the funding increase that we received from you last year and the past support, and we hope that that will continue. Gerald has a few things that he'd like to say to kind of update you on some of our activities.
Hello, and thank you for letting me speak to you. I've been with the board for 1 year. I've learned a lot in that year's time as far as what NRCS is about for Story County, what we try to do for conservation to producers, and also ways we've been working with the communities to try to see how to better conserve even on their own gardens or whatever. There's four topics that I'd like to express to you as far as what we have really put a lot of effort in this year. The first one is Mimi Wagers. She's a architectural and landscape architecture at Iowa State University. She's working with the Skunk River project between Storm City and Ames. And the reason she's working with this is these waters are impaired because of bacteria in those waters. But we feel that it's very important that we work with her on those waters because Ames Business District needs recreational areas for people to have activities in the area. And there's a lot of canoeing and kayaking going on down that river, and it just seems to grow every year. And we feel that we want to have those waters cleaned up as much as possible with our support, and also have your support on these type of things that they're trying to do for recreation in that area. There's also some archaeological artifacts over that area that have never been touched for 15,000 years that has not been farmed or had anything affect them that are very good for people to see as they're out doing their walks or whatever they want to do in that area. Second, another project we had was at Lake Laverne this year. We had three islands on the lake that had certain plants that would live on a small island with a small amount of dirt. And the roots would grow down into the water and attach to the bottom a little bit, but not real strong. And we could show students at Iowa State and people of Story County how those roots really can conserve and take up nutrients out of the water of that lake, which has been high in nutrients for a long time. It wasn't really to clean up the lake because it would take a lot more islands than that, but it's just to show the potential of what plants can do. And I think we did a really good job of that. We have been involved with it. Dana from in charge of Marshall and Story County was involved in that big time with students there. And it's really a good project, I think, to explain conservation. We also were here at the Story County Fair this year. Selden Spencer got a trailer from Boone County Conservation, and it has 12 tubes in there and all kinds of videos for students to look at. And we were really targeting high school students in Story County to go into this trailer and visualize compaction in one tube when you're putting soil in there, and then having loose soil in the other tube, and having a rainfall simulator so they could see what happens when you have compaction and then loose soil. They also have many other things in that trailer that are educational for the Story County students. We had rainfall every day, heavy rainfall, so it wasn't the biggest success this year, but we plan to be there next year and hope to have an area under roof next year that if it does rain, we can move inside and still show. The last thing is that our goal for 2016 is to really work harder with directly with farmers and help them to see what conservation projects are available to them, to remind them as far as terraces, waterways, just many different programs we have available for them, cover crops, and that's becoming more popular every day. We see more out in the field this year. Hope to gain on that because we feel that's an important project for them for nitrate. And so we really appreciate what you have done as far as providing money to us to help these people and educate people. But we really are involved in Story County and appreciate your support.
There's just a couple other things I'd like to add with the portion of the Skunk River between Ames and Story City, that's a proposal that we're currently developing, and we're being asked to perhaps serve as the fiscal agent for other grant monies that would be coming into that project. That we see it as a great public awareness campaign for soil and water and conservation education, as well as providing these enhanced outdoor recreation experiences. And the project on Lake Laverne, which I brought up a year ago, we were really pleased to hear from Mimi about the large numbers of people that witnessed those floating vegetative islands over the last year, that she felt that did that it really helped move our agenda down the road in terms of, we see ourselves as trying to build a culture of conservation in Story County, and it's those types of projects that help move that along pretty well.
Are we planning on doing that again this year?
I'm not certain. I think the floating islands will be out at Lake McFarland this year, but I'm not sure if that's been determined or not.
Anything else?
I will just say to Mark and Gerald that the Story County Conservation Board last night took action. I represent the Board of Supervisors as a non-voting ex officio member of the Conservation Board, and we took up the proposed Skunk Water Trail designation, and we had representatives from DNR there, and Mimi was there, and gave a presentation, and staff talked about the recommendations that would come forth, and they hope that this part of the trail would be kind of a gateway experience, and with that there are certain responsibilities that we were aware of, that in the event there is a log jam and so forth there, who's responsible for doing what, and trying to work this out. There's going to need to be collaboration with City of Ames, Story City, and several other communities where we have connecting bodies of water along this trail. But I think the result of last night should be a very positive step in cooperation with your group as well. And I think this is, again, another example of where we have joint entities all coming together to not only improve outdoor water quality recreational opportunities as well. And I certainly want to thank you for your work with the Conservation Board and with Mimi and so forth, particularly in this particular area. I have learned quite a bit over the course of several years being affiliated with the Conservation Board. And we're very fortunate here in Story County to have not only the great programs, but the tremendous cooperation and collaboration from various different entities, whether we're talking about paddlers or we're talking about, you know, other just outdoor enthusiasts and a variety of things all coming together to improve recreational outdoor opportunities. So I just wanted to share with you that you could check with Mike or go on the website there a little bit later and just see what action we did take on the Conservation Board did take last night.
Excellent.
Thank you. Okay. Thank
what can we do to help you guys? I mean, the programs and services that you guys do on behalf of Story County are outstanding. What can we do to help you further in that cause?
Just this morning we were talking about coming back a year from now with perhaps a proposal, a more concrete proposal on funding increase or maybe other activities, but I guess we're not ready to present quite yet. But you can look forward to that a year from now.
And I'll encourage any of you gentlemen that are interested, as you probably all know, that Irv Kloss represents the Soil and Water District on the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority. I happen to chair the authority, and we've got a meeting coming up, I think, towards the end of this month. And we just encourage any of you to show up. They're open to the public. We're working hand-in-hand with Prairie Rivers RC&D with a grant that we received. We've got a watershed coordinator, and she's out working directly with farmers. We've got a good program for payments for cover crops and improvements to drainage. So if you gentlemen are interested in that, you can contact me, and I'll get you an agenda in a meeting place.
Good. And Hannah Bates does attend our meetings as well. So
Hannah's our watershed coordinator.
We work together pretty well, I think, to exchange information.
Her's very good at communicating about positive things we can do to improve what we can do ourselves. Anything you can do to help us, we appreciate. You increased the amount of money this year. We really appreciated that. A lot of that goes to what? Education to the people of Story County and some of the projects we're trying to do, present new information to them and try to get people involved.
Sure.
Realize that this is something big with lawsuits going on at Des Moines Water Works. It's very important that we all do whatever we can to show that we are trying to clean our waters and make them better.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you
both. Thank you both. That'll take us to departmental reports. Quarterly report from Darren Moon, County Engineer.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Let's see. How are we going?
Take care. How often do we get flooding and a blizzard in the same pay period?
So that will start now with.
Yeah,
I don't believe it's ever happened in my memory in 21 years in county engineering.
Should be allowed to happen.
No, it shouldn't. So it's been an interesting 3 months. I'd say that was about a month ago. We had the flooding during our warm-up period there. It was about a repeat of the August flooding for us as far as damage and what roads were affected. This is our first indication of skunks doing things for Jerry Ryerson's corner, we call it. Second time that's been washed out this year. Huh. But that always washes out when we get the high skunk flows. Had numerous other locations. There is a bridge in the middle of that. It's well underwater. I'm not going to show you all the flooding pictures you saw. A lot of those back in August are just repeats. Damage-wise, it was very similar, probably about $20,000 worth of rock we lost. So we got most of that hauled back. Wasn't enough to get FEMA involved again. We keep a pretty good map of our road closures as we go along. We had 15 or 20 closures. We don't put this one would have been a closure, but we don't put everything where water's over the road. We had a lot of water over the road that lasts for an hour or two and goes back down, does little damage, but you can generally drive through those. We don't recommend it, but those we don't close and put on our closure map. But the more severe ones we do, we did get Squaw Creek closed a little sooner this time. No issues there. We did have an issue down at Maxwell, 322nd. On the west side of Maxwell, we had that closed and fenced, and somebody took them down and went through and got washed off the road down there. But we can only do so much to prevent that. Overtime for winter work is we're about on average right now. We've spent about half of our $50,000 overtime budget. Hopefully we're halfway through winter at this point. Unfortunately, our crews did have to work Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's unfortunate, but that comes with the job sometimes. We talked a little bit in our budget session last week about salt, and even though we're halfway through the winter, our salt usage has gone up for a couple reasons. One, we provide a little better service than I think most counties do. We try to get that ice off as soon as we can, even on the straightaways. The policy doesn't say we need to do that, but I think it's well worth our time. And the cost benefit, I think, is well worth it. The issue is our salt supply, and we've used probably about 80% of what we started out with. And we have somewhat of a bottleneck in Ames. Everybody gets their salt through that little supplier behind Culver's back there, Sky. DOT, City of Ames, and all most of the surrounding counties all get supplied by the same one, and he gets cars in through the winter, but he doesn't get. We order way back at Thanksgiving. I haven't seen any of it yet, so that's a struggle. So,
and remind us, since nobody was here for your budget session, and they're welcome to listen to it, the audio. But remind us how much storage we start with, and how much we generally use for the year.
This is our salt shed in Nevada. It has two bins. This one holds 600 tons of salt only, and this is one we mix. This has a 50-50 mix of salt sand. So 600 tons here, and then we could say another 300 tons salt here. We have to check in the summer for the state auditor every year. We're right around 900 tons of salt we had on hand. We fill it up in the winter to make sure, and we average 1,000, 1,200 per winter. Some get more than that, and that's when we run into these problems. Last week, this is a real current picture, but last week I drove by and there was less than that. They did bring two small truckloads of salt over, but that's probably 50 tons of salt in the back of the salt-only bin. And the mixed bin has a couple hundred tons left. It was down about nothing. I drove by and we had, you know, our 13 trucks out when they were all full, but they brought a lot back, fortunately, because we were a little concerned at that point. But we do have enough for another storm or two. But
at the end of the day, if we're using 1,200 tons a year, we should have storage for 1,200 tons.
Correct. Yeah. We're brainstorming and coming up with some other options. This is a quantity hut in the back of our yard. It's just cold storage and has a dirt floor. We're looking at possible options and maybe putting some pavement down inside. And we have some concrete blocks that the wind farm donated to us. We can put around the inside of that and maybe use this as some additional storage. We can maybe get 400 to 600 tons in here. So that's one option we're considering. Problem is a little bit of lower area. There's a, you see a pick and bottom orange intake right there. So we have to build it up a little bit. But looking at that as an option and some other storage options. And maybe at our new facilities we'll build in the future, we could build a little bit bigger than we need for just that facility. And the other issue is the supplier. He is probably in his 70s and at this point has no plan for what's going to happen when he retires. That's DOT is also concerned about that, what's going to happen when that happens. So he doesn't have a successor at this point.
So he's buying it by the rail car.
Correct.
Is it possible for us to buy it by the rail car?
We're going to look into that. The problem is you have to have siding and you have to get it off. He has a siding where I think three or four cars can sit, and he can get it off slowly. But you got to have it all worked out.
Right, and so what I'm suggesting, just you know, off the top of my head, I'm suggesting that we should have a conversation with Lincoln Way Energy about the possibility of putting a temporary storage shed over there and contract with them to have the ability to use their facility to bring in our own rail cars. How much is a rail car? How many tons does a rail car hold?
You know, I do not know that.
Yeah. It just seems to me that if we're struggling, we're getting one dump truck full at a time, and we're getting down next to nothing, and now we get a big storm, and we'll go through everything we have, and then we're not prepared. So now you're starting to talk about, well, typically we get all the ice off the roads, even on the straightaways. Now I would imagine you've got to start to prioritize and say, okay, maybe we're not going to be doing some straightaways if we don't have enough sand. And to me, what is completely reasonable for the people of Story County is to expect us to continue to do what we do.
Right.
And so we need to come up with some options. And I understand we are where we are for this one. But for future years, we need to come up with some options. And if going and getting our own rail cars, bringing them in is the way to do it, then let's find a way to make that happen.
Yep. We're brainstorming, and that has crossed my mind.
Sure. And it could be a conversation that we also have with Ames and the DOT. I mean, if the three of us can get together and if we can find a suitable place that has a siding.
Because they're all getting information. Now, see, I'm not trying to step into where we're competing with any kind of private supplier, but it seems to me we've got one private supplier who right now is struggling to meet the demand, doesn't have, that you know of, any future plans for how to do it, we've got a responsibility to the people of Story County, as the DOT does, as the city of Ames does, to answer this question.
Well, the bottom line, again, it's a thought. It's something that ought to be talked about and looking into what other options are out there and whether or not something like this could happen, because as we found over the years, dealing with the railroad, that's a different challenge altogether.
Absolutely, but it's not but Lincoln Way already
Lincoln
has
Way
that.
Has that, and if we could somehow piggyback with him, that makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah.
So this gentleman, you're telling me he's behind Culver's right there in Ames.
Yeah.
So he's pulling cars off the line as they come through Ames?
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody still did that.
He used to sell coal.
Yes.
I think he still does.
Yeah.
And when I was in high school 40 years ago, I used to sell him bulk firewood. Because he also sold firewood. So he's been in business. Well, we don't know. He's been in business in Ames forever. I think his grandfather was in business in Ames selling coal.
Well, I'm not looking to step on his toes. I'm not. We just have a responsibility
for what happens. Absolutely, when he's no longer in business.
I went over and visited with him for a budget session and told him we were talking more story, and he was all for it. He's like, "Yes, that's what you need." Because we're in a situation, all the counties are in the same situation at the same time, unfortunately. And
right.
They don't have as much storage as us, and he may have taken on a little bit too much as far as spreading out, but there's not much I can do about that.
Okay.
We'll keep exploring those ideas. On a good note, we're still seeing a lot of savings in our fuel costs. The diesel fuel finally came down to match the gas prices. So we're seeing considerable savings in our fuel costs. I did have a couple motor grader repairs. Fortunately, these are under full warranty, so they didn't cost anything, but they were both $50,000 to $100,000 repairs on two of them under our lease program. So it didn't cost anything. Another thing that benefits us with this lease program is they own the machines. They're going to fix them right.
Sure.
Before we had to battle on how much would be fixed under warranty, and they come up here and got it done right away. And so we're seeing another benefit there. The trucks we talked about in our budget session, Rick, you'd asked, we have one new truck without the pup in the budget for next year. We haven't identified the truck it's going to replace yet, but it's going to be one of the single axles. We know that. We're seeing how there's two or three that, seeing how they get through this winter because they're rusted out so bad. We want to see which is the worst one at the end of the season, and that'll replace a single.
And why are we getting one without a pup? Do we not need the pups on all of them, but is it not a huge benefit?
Well, I'll kind of explain that in the next photo here. This is last year's truck and pup combination. You can't see it, but there's an underbody blade underneath this. It doesn't have the two cheater axles that the one we got this past year did.
Right.
This rig will haul 10 tons more than the previous. This will hold 30, where this holds about 20 tons. It's a considerable amount.
Right.
Those underbodies are really helpful. They put pressure down and get that ice off the road, so we don't want to eliminate all those, but we need a few in the fleet without. So what we're going to do is get the new truck. We can still use the pup on the new truck to get that up to 30 tons.
Okay.
And another thing we did with the new trucks is these aluminum boxes. We don't want to use them for everything because they're not as sturdy and you can't weld on them, but they're lighter, so we can haul more with those two.
So the green bedded truck would become less for major hauling and more about, I mean, hauling clearly, but snow removal and things like that.
Correct.
Okay.
Our end goal is probably we'll have two of these and the semi going. Our end goal is maybe have three truck and pups and the semi to be as efficient as we can hauling rock.
How many pups do we have now?
Just the two.
Sure. Okay.
So maybe next year we'll ask for one more truck and pup. And,
okay.
And after that, next year we'll be down to six single axles and nine tandem trucks. So we're getting a lot closer to our goal to be as efficient.
And do the single axles have a purpose other than they're cheaper? Do they have a purpose, or ultimately will we be out of the single axle business?
We like to. They're very easy to get in and out of dirt hauling and getting in and out of the ditches, and they're easy that way. That's why we had so many in the past.
Okay.
So we're still going to want a fleet for that. But, construction. We finally got our Hickory Grove Bridge replacement project open. we didn't really publicize it all that much, the opening, because it kind of happened slowly. But let me go back to this. This is some summer construction photos. You see the high cofferdam they had to build. One of the reasons this had some extra expense to this structure is they knew the stream came up so severely and quickly at times. So when they were building this pier, it actually overtopped their cofferdam. They had to rebuild it, and this one they built much higher to account for that. But they did encounter those high flows, unfortunately, building the bridge. And then the other additional cost is this is the pile drive going in. 80 to 90 foot long pile.
Wow.
We weren't hitting bedrock, so they had to be that long. Added some additional cost in that area. And then we were hoping to get this done by the end of November. This was that Thanksgiving snow that came in. It was right when they were finishing the grading work on the ends. So it kind of created a bit of a muddy mess. And then things don't dry that time of year either. But we had a small stretch of time. We did a good job getting it up to grade, and it was pretty solid. Then we had all those rains again with the flooding. It created kind of a soft condition. So the contractor was done and out of there, and it was rock, but it was just wasn't firm enough for us to get it open. And then a week or two ago, everything's kind of froze up enough, and it's solid to open. So it is open for traffic now, but we could have some issues in the spring, but we'll just have to keep working it.
How much is seeding along that area from where the construction was done? Is that being contracted out, or will RVM?
It is. I think RVM is going to do some temporary stuff because the cedar won't be able to come back till next spring to do the permitting. Yeah, I think Joe's going to help out in the meantime. And other than that, since my last report, we did four more precast box culverts. The four that were left was this one here. Down south, not that one, over here on Sand Hill Trail, and then the replacement on the S27 pavement. We got all four of those done. And these are everything we completed in 2015 then. We had the yellow were the two paving projects we had, and then all the rest were box culverts and two bridges, one bridge here and the bridge here. So we got quite a bit done for bridge replacements in 2015. And plan on about the same for 2016. We recently completed designs for 2016 on 12 projects. There's four asphalt overlays, those are the yellow ones that you see. Two bridge deck overlays, those are both on the pavements here, one here on S14 and one up on S27. Those decks are getting in bad shape, but the bridge has a lot of life in it, so we've mill off some concrete and put a new deck on it, and it'll last quite a lot longer after we do that. And then six more bridge replacements. And then there is a seventh I added on here. Since that's in 2017, the fiscal year, it's a chance some of that could get done in the fall, but I really doubt that's going to happen. But I put it on here just because it was a possibility. That's more likely going to happen in construction year 17.
Right, and I want to, every time you hit that one, I want to make sure we talk, because that's 190th, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's the small bridge on 190th. And then we've got a much longer bridge that goes across the Squaw. And we need to get this bridge done first, and then we need to, I believe that ultimately we're going to close down the longer bridge, and you're not going to have access from west of Squaw Creek coming all the way across 190th past Prairie Moon, Winery and up. We just need to talk about that every time this comes up.
So is this the first one that you were talking about about possibly taking that one?
Yeah, this is the one in 17 you just approved in the local budget,
right?
$400,000. Right. It's restricted on the size now because it's got steel beams and there's rust so bad the outside.
And the other one only about 50, yards or so. I mean, the other one is relatively close.
Yeah. Good.
The other one's close by, but it's a lot longer bridge.
Yeah, but it's longer, but I mean, it's not,
it's just over the hill on the gravel,
right,
to the west.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're looking east right here, up the hill toward Prairie Moon.
Yep.
Right.
And just comment, we're getting close to a design on this. We're shooting for the lowest impact design as possible. If you know the area, these hills are steeper than they look in the picture. To cut these hills down and raise this up, these houses are built right up to the edge of the road.
Yep.
We're trying to do as little impact in the area as possible. So we're going to end up with guardrail on the outsides, which will help shorten up the box culvert length and save some money so we can steepen the slopes. But to not have guardrail would create a very long box culvert.
Does this one ever get overtopped?
Oh, no.
This is far enough up the hill
to cover over the top of the culvert, yeah. One comment, when we last talked, we weren't sure that this Maxwell Bridge was going to happen in 16 because we're waiting on the DNR permits, which can take up to a year at times. We did get that at the last second in order to get in the March DOT letting. We had to scramble, but it is set up for March letting at the DOT, and historically those prices have been decent in for bridges, so
good.
If it comes in real high, we could always delay it again, but I don't expect it to. I mentioned the West 190th, we're working on that design for next year, as well as Grant Avenue paving. I want to comment one quick thing. You had a meeting up in Ziering. I know you took some comments on a bump here on E18.
Yep.
We paved that, I believe, 2 years ago and had to replace a culvert with that deep cut, and we always get some settlement with that. We want to make sure the settlement is out, but I did have it on Manette's schedule all construction season. They were so busy they could not get in to do it, even last thing in the fall. I tried again, they couldn't do it. They did sell us a load of asphalt. We took up ourselves and put down. We don't have the equipment to get it down right, so it was like a temporary patch. But we'll try to get Manette's out there as soon as we can in the spring.
When did we do the patch?
Just month and a half ago, I believe.
It was after our meeting up there. Meeting. Yes, I drove it that night after the meeting, and I mean, it's there, but I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, in our meeting, it sounded like it was pulling the bottom off of cars, and it wasn't
one
that.
One mansion's a little worse than the other, but I would have liked to have had it done last construction season, but they just couldn't get in to do it. FY16 budget. As you know from our budget session, we didn't have any expenditures planned for the additional fuel tax in the current year because we didn't know what was going to happen when we approved the budget. We don't plan on spending it in this fiscal year. It's about $600,000 in our local budget. We're just going to carry that over, and that will help pay for some of our bigger projects like Grant Avenue paving. There's one thing that did pop up we're going to have to fit in this fiscal year is a pipe just north of Maxwell on S-27. It's a 5-foot diameter, it's a 90-foot long, so it's a long structure. The bottom completely rusted out, and it's starting to suck some of the road under the pavement. So we've already ordered the liner. We're going to line it with a plastic liner and then grout around it instead of tearing up the road for a couple reasons. One, it's hard to detour this traffic. There's no good detour on the north side of Maxwell. This traffic come all the way down, and that's one thing we don't like to close it. And two, the reason that rusted out is there's horse pasture upstream, a lot of manure coming from that, and then I think a lot of overflow from the trailer park sewage lagoons rust out the pipes. We didn't want to put metal back anyway, so this plastic liner lasts a lot longer. But the pipe is in. We just got to schedule it the earliest spring as possible because we don't want that pavement to settle.
Right, but you can use some of the $600,000 that we've got to pay for that.
It'll be about $35,000.
Absolutely.
But we're going to make it work.
Especially with the tentative agreement that we made with the city of Gilbert and the school system, which in essence will take care of $150,000 of any project we do there, including the bike path.
Yeah. And we can shift around a little bit of the bridge repairs, move them past July, and we'll make it work out of July. Okay. That's one to make it work of the project mainly. New federal highway bill is a passed. It's called FAST, Fixing America's Surface Transportation. Two really good things about this bill. One, it's fully funded. That hasn't happened for a while. Two, it's a 5-year bill. Usually they've been doing short-term deals, which doesn't allow us to plan very well in the future. So we'll be available to plan for at least 5 years out now. And the funding levels actually increased. The last bill, MAP 21, took funding levels down for both roads and bridges, and this plan to bring it back up to where it was, if not higher. We don't know the actual funding levels because the feds give that money to the state. The state doesn't actually have to give the counties any of it. So those details have to be worked out. They historically have given us quite a bit. So expect those funds to go up for federal monies. the new shed, Mayor Kelly, we're still working on the land. I would mention if we need a fallback plan, I did, like I mentioned to you before, talk to Huxley, and they're open to talking about that if we can't get this site, so there is a fallback plan.
You prefer what we're talking to Iowa State about over what Huxley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a DOT projects. Want to comment quick on a couple of them. You know about the interchange plans. They extended the public comment period into January. But what they do from there is up to the DOT and other boards. Submitted their comments that you're not in favor of closing the gravel roads in between 588 and 600. But, from here on out, it's a DOT decision. We'll try to keep updated on as we can. A couple other things the DOT has in works. This is hard to see, but in 2016, they have some of that I-35 bridge work. It's by that Jerry Ryerson's corner, 265th. They'll be replacing that bridge and doing some drainage improvements, widening out I-35 through that stretch. And then this is the big flyover bridge at the interchange, I-35 and Highway 30 in 2017. These are just some initial drawings. These aren't final, but I wanted to show them to you. This is, that's the South Dayton Bridge you're seeing looking west. So that's the flyover bridge you'll see. And then looking back is the I-35, and that's the ramp coming across. But the interesting part is, it's a little hard to see in this picture, but some of these bricks are different colors. They're actually proposing Iowa State, as you know, is where the original computer originated. Used to run these punch cards. They're going to put those bricks in that pattern along those piers.
Color me shocked.
Which would be kind of cool if you knew what it meant, but I don't know. General public don't know what that means. But. And one other thing I wanted to point out about that flyover, it'll come up here and it kind of heads out and across that direction. There is one house that is in the county right now. This is a dead-end road for us, 245th Street. We recently had some issues with, you can see a little turnaround here. The school bus has to back into this turnaround and get back out. Mm-hmm. Ever since we had that accident up here at 580th with the school bus, they don't no longer wanted to come down this road. They felt it was too dangerous. But the DOT is actually in the process of buying out this house if it all goes well. So that will eliminate that school bus issue for us, but I want to make you aware there's one county resident may get their home bought out. And
well, if they do, can we take everything to the west of the house I see down here and turn it into level B?
Right here.
Yep.
We would probably, I don't know how much the construction, I haven't seen the plan, how much that will actually be eliminated, but yeah, we'll be able to probably just vacate it.
Okay.
Yeah. City of Ames and Grant Avenue University. This is Grant Avenue. I just want to point out again, we're working on the maintenance agreement because at least this is the 1 mile they recently paved. At least half of that is still county. This is half and half, but that's all county. So we need the maintenance agreement. They are maintaining it right now, but we need just to have something in writing to cover us in case there's an accident or something. City's also planning on doing a 35 mile an hour speed limit on this mile, so we'll have to match that with a resolution that should be coming fairly soon. But that's what that is about for Grant Avenue at 35. I told them we'd match whatever they do. It's got a pretty steep hill through here, that's why it requires a 35, and it's curb and gutter. And
hey, somebody hit me the other day on. So you got Ames and Iowa State putting in roundabouts down on Airport Road and University. City of Gilbert did it really at the north end of Grant, or Gretton, whatever they call it, is 190th and 530th, Grant, Gretton. Is that a place that we would want to consider if we're going to go in and do the work of paving north of that? Clearly Ames is doing something south. Would we want to consider a roundabout for that section? You were talking about we needed to put in a stop sign right there or something.
Consider a stop sign.
That's clearly 190th is clearly the dragway of western Story County. Is a roundabout something we'd want to consider there?
We can look into it. Usually a roundabout is something you do in lieu of lights. If we can get by with stop signs, that's usually much more cost-effective way to do it. Roundabouts aren't real conducive to bike trails,
okay.
So that's another issue. Since we're going to have a bike trail crossing through there, it's hard to bring one through a roundabout.
Probably wouldn't want two of them that close together anyway, Gilbert there. And
this house on the corner is fairly close. Roundabouts take it pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah, and I don't know if it's something we ever want to consider or not, but when somebody mentioned the other day, I thought, well, next time we're talking about this, let's...
Been thinking about that, too, since we've been talking about a stop sign there, if we even have the room, but we'll look into that.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll get this 35. Another couple, they had some driveway issues. These are still county landowners, and they put curb and gutter through there. I know this residence, they have a certain amount of width of curb cut they gave them, and they used to have a wider driveway, so I know they weren't real happy about that. And some of these residents want to park out here on the road now, and I think the city's going to tell them they can't. I can understand why they don't want them to, but I don't know if they're losing parking or why they need to park out on the road, but I just wanted to make you aware of those issues.
Why did the city not annex that? I mean, did that take them below the 80%?
Well, this is the Sturgis property. I know they were never in favor of annexation. I don't know about this area. I know that some departments wish they would have, because I think they could have involuntarily annexed them, but the city maintenance doesn't involuntarily annex very often. Pipeline projects. This is, you see Barilla in the background. This is 570th Avenue. That was completed this year. It was inspected. That cost $26,000 for the inspection, and the pipeline will be reimbursing us that for the consultant that inspected it for us. One of the benefits, there's a lot of tile issues through here, and it affected our road a lot. There's a lot of swamp area on both sides. I think the pipeline helped discover where some of that tile was, and I think the farmer's doing some tile improvements, which will greatly help improve our road. So that's one of the benefits that will come out of this. I hope. Dakota Access, we just don't know at this point. It's still, Utilities Board hasn't made their decision, so we're waiting on that. Lastly, a couple drainage district issues. This is up in Fernald. With all the rains we had this year, a lot of calls from residents in Fernald.
Yep.
The town just does not drain well. As you know, there's a district tile that runs all the way through town.
Right.
North-South Street here. And this
full
is
of roots from that tree.
That's the tree.
The one that the guy called recently and I had you check on. Okay.
That's what I'm getting to here. I wanted to bring you up to speed on where that stands. John Hunter stopped in and talked to Wayne on the other side here. He's got some big trees on the corner. What the issue? Anyway, we're going to put a solid tile through here so I can get these tree roots solved. That's going to happen. But John Hunter lives in this house. Those are the big trees on the corner, and that's the big tree. He's got this area behind his house. It's just a difficult one to solve. We did a lot of work in here, I think it was 2 years ago, and we worked with John at the time to do some ditch cleaning and try to help. But he still has this pond. You see his propane tank.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's almost floating. It's a bad place for it. I wish he could just move it, but he's also concerned about maybe kids getting hurt in the deeper waters. But the issue is the district tile is over here, and there is no connection to it. And here is the district boundary.
Oh, my.
That's the low area, and I believe the reason for that is the district tile is higher than this is out here, so you couldn't actually drain to that.
Right.
So they left it out of the district because it wouldn't be fair to bill him for the district if he couldn't actually drain to it. So at the time being, we're going to work with him on doing some survey work when the snow melts and see. He wants to see if we could at least drain some of this off.
Yep.
We can't.
So he'd still have a pond, but it wouldn't be as big, wouldn't be as deep.
Correct.
Which direction would you try to drain, if possible?
There is a culvert in the area. We need to see how deep that is. Maybe lowering the culvert, putting the tile in. We couldn't put it all the way down here. It could only drain a certain point and then connect it into the district tile. It would have to be higher to drain. Okay. Still going to have water back here no matter what we do because this is too low.
So up on this picture is south or west?
North is up.
Ours.
Yep.
North is up.
This is the dead end. This road dead ends right here, the south end from home.
But I've talked to him, William, since he talked to you, and we're going to at least get a survey out there so we can show him here's how things can work. Then we'll have to decide how much is county responsibility to drain that and how much would be his. But in the end, I don't think he'll be able to get rid of all of it. But there might be some things we can do to help. And then DD5, Kent Rowley's coming in soon to talk about the report we had on the north end of DD5. There are some areas that probably need to be annexed. At the far south end, when he comes in, I want to talk to him about where the tile empties into the open ditch. There's a handful of these down.
Tell me where Drain District 5 is.
It outlets, you know where Shipley Road is, the pavement?
Yep.
It outlets right at Shipley Road and goes a little bit further south of Shipley Road. But DD5, where he's doing the reports up by where the pipeline went on 570th, he's doing a report to annex some areas in. I don't know if Scott's contacted about a meeting, but the report's ready to be presented to the board. I'm bringing some new areas in.
So looking at the growth there, the vegetation, if nothing is done clearing that out, that eventually would just kind of cover up over the...
Well, it's all scoured out. That used to have dirt over the whole thing, and the water's going underneath it.
Okay.
It's completely blown out. There's probably 5 of these or so. So while we have a district meeting going on, we can ask Kent's opinion how we should do these, whether they need to be removed and replaced. It's going to be hard to compact dirt underneath them when they get scoured out like that. But that needs to be addressed. And lastly, we're going to be advertising soon for some summer help. So anybody has a county employee or anybody that has students can drive small tractors, especially for mowing shoulders.
Yep. Got to be at least 18.
Yeah.
We're paying $11.50 an hour?
Now. So we can attract some employees there.
You want him driving a mower in the ditch?
I'd work with him.
All right.
So would his uncle.
That's all I have. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. Darren, one quick thing, I was probably going to mention on the next item, but you're going to be at your
Yeah, you will not.
Yeah, I've already emailed them. We're still trying to decide on the who's on the chair. I'm currently chair now. We're waiting to hear from Chet to see if he wants to move up. Okay. But if he doesn't, I'm eligible to probably run for a second term. So you can just... I'll email them and let them know that, and then we'll decide how to do that. But we've got the secretary treasurer is going to move up, Propeller is going to move up to vice chair, so we don't know who's going to be there.
Okay.
And I'll also CC you on what I hear back from Chet, so you'll be aware of that when you go to the meeting.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. That takes us to public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. I see anybody running towards the microphone liaison assignment for Wayne.
Pass.
And I will pass. Announcements from the supervisor, Wayne.
Okay, just last night again, I attended the conservation board meeting that I kind of mentioned about the water trail in agreement with IDNR, and there was also another construction easement. There's going to be a permanent electric line facility, which Michelangelo Wind was going to be approved, and that's going to be really connected right next to county conservation land. And then there was an agreement on the volunteer referral agreement with the Volunteer Center of Story County. But all in all, it was, then we had a report from IRVM on its annual report and so forth. So, just very good meeting, and things are moving quite well. And we had a positive interaction discussion on Research Park and where things are standing now. And it's still moving along, and we're still encouraged with some of the things that are happening.
Outstanding. The announcement, Rick.
We've got Ames Assessor meeting tonight. Wayne and I will represent the Board of Supervisors at that meeting. Anybody who wants to come, it starts at 5:30. I would imagine it'll take all of 15 minutes. to get through the assessor's report and then ultimately set the budget hearing.
And then this Thursday is the Legal and Voters sponsors the State of the Community, and you'll be able to hear from Ames, Story County, Iowa State, and the Ames School Board at that presentation. And that's all I've got. I'll take a
move adjournment.
Second. Motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Adjourned.